What is up? It's The Rant. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Friday, September 25th. Football Friday, baby. And we got a lot of football to talk about here. We're going to break down the remaining matchups for you on the slate this weekend. Not Monday's game. We'll get that on Monday. But before we do, you know what I have to do right now. I got to tell you about our sponsor. Of course, that is Monkey Knife Fight. Do you like to play daily fantasy sports? Well, you need to check out MonkeyKnifeFight.com. MonkeyKnifeFight.com is the fastest growing daily fantasy sports site in the world because MonkeyKnifeFight.com is different than other daily fantasy sites. That's because on MonkeyKnifeFight.com, there's no salary caps. You don't have to play against sharks. And that means anyone has a chance of winning, even you. MonkeyKnifeFight.com has tons of fun daily contests in all the sports you love: baseball, basketball, hockey, golf, UFC, NASCAR, WNBA, esports, and football. Monkey Knife Fight has it all. And you know what else? MonkeyKnifeFight.com has a free $5 game for you just for signing up. And if you use the promo code RANT, R-A-N-T, you'll have your first deposit matched instantly up to $50. With a name like MonkeyKnifeFight.com, you'd be pretty certain you know what you're getting into when you sign up to play. Monkeys, knives, fights, sports. Sign up and play today at MonkeyKnifeFight.com. Play to MKF and win. State and age restrictions apply. See site for full terms and restrictions. And that is a good way to help us out. Promo code RANT. I think it's pretty cool, man. It's just another way to get some action in on games. So go check it out, MonkeyKnifeFight.com. Promo code RANT. So let's dive into the action this weekend. Do a little game by game for you here. Kicking things off with Chicago and Atlanta. And really, every Friday when I go through all these matchups, if I don't mention your particular players, that basically means it's a neutral matchup. Or they're a wide receiver and I mentioned them on the show yesterday. But it's a neutral matchup, so you don't move them up or down. If there are favorable matchups, then I will move players up just a little bit, down just a little bit in negative matchups. But just making you aware of those things. Don't overvalue the matchups. That's a rookie mistake in fantasy football for sure. And of course, there are a lot of moving parts when it comes to injuries, so I'll update you with all of those as well. And there is a big one in this one, of course, that being Julio Jones. He is officially questionable. Didn't practice this week, but could play. He's one of those players who could certainly play without practicing. I'm not going to hold my breath here. This is actually a relatively tough matchup. Chicago's been tough on the pass game, allowing 6.6 yards per attempt so far this season. Only two passing scores. But I don't think it changes anything because I don't think Atlanta gets anything done on the ground. And so they're going to have to throw the football. So this is actually pretty darn good for Calvin Ridley owners. If there's no Julio, then obviously we'll upgrade a little bit on Russell Gage. And we'll definitely upgrade a little bit on Hayden Hurst. On the other side of this matchup, do you really trust Mitchell Trubisky? I mean, do we really do that? I can't do it. The matchup is great. Don't get me wrong. No team has been more friendly to opposing passing games through the first 2 weeks of the season for fantasy purposes. 386 passing yards, 2.5 passing scores per game to opposing quarterbacks. But come on, we're really going to roll with Mitchell Trubisky? I just can't do it. And two quarterbacks, sure. But not in a one quarterback league. David Montgomery, remember, he doesn't face the Giants every week, but he does get a decent enough matchup here. Atlanta has allowed four total touchdowns to opposing backfields. Remember, they did allow the two receiving touchdowns to Chris Carson in week one and then two rushing scores last week. So David Montgomery is a top 20 play. And I will do some game picks, by the way, just straight up, not against the spread or anything like that, but I do pick every game every week. So in this one, fairly easy for me, I'm going to take Atlanta. I know some people are taking Chicago, but too tough to fade Atlanta at home. And it's a little bit different. You don't get the home field advantage in the traditional sense of the crowd this year, but you don't have to travel. That's what I'm thinking. So anyway, Rams and Buffalo. The Rams do have to travel to Buffalo. Jared Goff got off the schneid a little bit last week. Certainly looked a lot better against the Eagles, especially to Tyler Higbee, but the Bills are pretty tough against the pass. 63% completion rate so far this season, so I'm not going to roll with Goff. The backfield is a bit of a mess. I don't think we see Cam Akers in this one, but I do think we're going to see Malcolm Brown. I'm going to use Brown as a flex. I'm going to have Daryl Henderson on my bench. Zach Moss will not be playing on the other side of this, so if you have Devin Singletary, giddy up. You now have yourself an RB2 play. The Rams, 4.6 yards per carry to opposing backfield. Two rushing scores so far allowed, so there's some juice here with Devin Singletary. Got to like that. This will be where the rubber meets the road for Josh Allen. He's gotten off to a hot start, but I'm not very intimidated by his first two opponents. This is a much tougher matchup. He faces Aaron Donald. Okay. He faces a secondary that's led by Jalen Ramsey. So if Allen comes out of this one, and they've only allowed 6.2 yards per attempt so far this season, only one passing score allowed. So if Josh Allen comes out of this game and looks pretty good, then yeah, we're going to have to start changing our tune. But I still think there are deficiencies that we've seen, even though the numbers have been great over the first 2 weeks. There are some deficiencies there, and you can at me all you want, Bills Mafia. Bills Mafia. Throw me through a table. But whatever. I'm calling it as I see it here, and we shall see. This is the indicator. Obviously, he's a top 10 play for fantasy purposes. I am actually going to take, and here's where the Bills Mafia is definitely going to come after me. I'm going to take the Rams here. And it, hey, if I'm not taking your team, it's not disrespect. We used to, when I worked for PFF, we would put our picks out, and I'm sure they still do it. But we'd put our picks out, and people would be so disrespected. It's like, it's not a disrespect. I'm just taking the other team to win. Somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to lose. And it really, for me, a little bit of his, the line movement. The line has moved. So it opened at -3. It's -2.5 consensus, but I'm seeing it at -1.5 on DraftKings right now. So that's pretty telling. I'm going to go with the Rams here. Outright taking this game down. Washington and Cleveland. The Browns are tough on the run game. 58.5 rushing yards per game over the first 2 weeks. That's nothing new for Cleveland. They're good against the run. So this isn't the week to be overly bullish on Antonio Gibson. I still like him for the long haul, but temper your expectations. I love Logan Thomas, though, this week. The Browns have given up 3 receiving scores to tight ends. They, of course, face Mark Andrews, so you discount it a little bit. But still, I like him as a DFS play for sure. Logan Thomas, nice and cheap, and is definitely in play in season long as a potential streamer option. Or, you know, if you're in like one of those like Evan Ingram situations, it's close to a coin flip, to be honest with you, between the two. I still have Ingram ahead in rankings, but it is pretty darn close. Washington also really tough against the run game, 3.7 yards per carry. Haven't allowed a rushing score to running backs yet, but who cares? If you have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, the MO here is get out to a lead and run the heck out of those guys. And I do think they get out to a lead because Washington has seen a league high 436 air yards per game, 10.9 average depth of target. That's deep. So I think we get a big play or two out of Baker Mayfield / Odell Beckham Jr. early in this game. But then I think they hold the lead. I'm going with Cleveland to win this thing. Tennessee and Minnesota. There's not much to see here in this game just in general. You know, I look at this game and I'm like, the matchups are kind of in the middle for the most part. It could be an efficient day for sure for Ryan Tannehill because Minnesota is a little soft against the pass, obviously, 74% completion rate. We know the yardage numbers. But Tannehill's just not going to throw that much. So that's why I'm not like over the moon about Tannehill. Like even in a game where, you know, you have a big advantage here, they're not going to throw the football that much. They're going to run with Derrick Henry. And of course, the Vikings have allowed 140 rushing yards per game over the first 2 weeks. So Henry's going to get back on track here. Start your Vikings as you normally would. Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen. And that's about it, right? I mean, I said last week that the Titans are a soft matchup for tight ends, and of course Tyler Eifert got in the end zone, but are we really going to try and play the guessing game between Irv Smith and Kyle Rudolph? Because you know as well as I do, we could all be on Irv Smith and then Kyle Rudolph goes and scores 2 touchdowns. Like, or we're like, you know what, we'll go with Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith goes out and just goes bonkers. Like, I don't want to mess with it. Maybe in DFS I'll have a little exposure to each, but I don't want to mess with it, to be honest with you. I'm taking Tennessee in this one. Vegas and the New England Patriots. Josh Jacobs, man. Josh Jacobs. This is very much up in the air here with Josh Jacobs after he missed practice on Wednesday and Thursday. I was trying to hold out here to see if I could get any Jacobs update. And of course, sometimes it's tough being an East Coaster getting that West Coast news. But as of right now, there's a very real chance that Josh Jacobs doesn't play. Anytime a guy goes DNP, he is very much at risk of not playing. Of course, We don't know exactly what's going on, you know, behind closed doors for the Raiders and what their, you know, what their thoughts are on Jacobs. We can only read the tea leaves, but the tea leaves don't paint a very favorable picture. So if he doesn't go, it would be, I really think it's going to be Devontae Booker as the next man up, but it'll be a pretty much a full-blown committee with him and Jalen Richard. Neither one appealing, especially in this matchup. I mean, New England is so good against the run. 3.91 yards per rushing attempt this season, but they were the number 32 matchup last year. So basically, you're holding out hope. If Jacobs goes, then no problem. Like, if he plays, obviously we're starting him as a top 10 option. But, you know, a little nervous that he doesn't go. In terms of the Raiders, hey, man, they're the number 2 fantasy matchup for running backs, but I don't think that matters. And part, I mean, hey, context, right? Christian McCaffrey and Alvin Kamara is who they faced. So, of course, yeah, they didn't perform that well. But there's no running back we're going to be looking at here. However, one, Super Cam Newton is definitely in a good spot here. Already 4 rushing scores, and I think that they're going to have a hard time defending him in this one. So I love Cam in this matchup. I will take the Patriots here in this one. Vegas definitely pulled one out, you know, put a little bit of a surprise there on Monday night, but I don't think they have enough to go, you know, West Coast, essentially West Coast to East Coast and take down the Patriots at home. Good team, though. Like what we're seeing out of the Raiders. San Francisco and the Giants, which is a weird way of saying that if you're a baseball fan. But anyway, on the San Francisco side, injuries. Jimmy G, George Kittle, Raheem Mostert, not to mention all of the injuries on the defensive side of the ball, not to mention Deebo Samuel, who we basically almost have forgotten about at this point. Injuries. So Kittle will be out, so we get another week of Jordan Reed streamability. That's good, but you have Nick Mullins throwing him the ball, so it's a little bit of a downgrade. A little bit. But I do like Jerick McKinnon and Jeff Wilson here, and I'll preface that. So I like Jeff Wilson for DFS because he's super cheap, and I do expect him to lead the backfield in carries. But Jerick McKinnon is the better season-long player and really the better DFS player. He's pretty cheap as well. So keep that in mind. Opposing running backs are averaging 4.64 yards per carry against the Giants, so I expect efficient days for both of those guys. On the other side, hey, I was going to say this is, you know, this time last week, I'd be like, this is a brutal matchup for Daniel Jones. It's not brutal anymore, but it's not good. The secondary is still good for the Giants. It's just they lost basically all of their pass rushers. So he has a little bit more time to work. I actually think for DFS, Darius Slayton becomes very interesting. I'm going to slide him in as a wide receiver 3 in season long here. But I'm not touching this backfield with a 1,000-foot pole. San Francisco is still relatively good against the run, even without those guys. And Deion Lewis is going to be the primary back this week. That's not good. I don't want any piece of that. I'll take San Francisco. Even though the line did move a little bit here, I'll take San Francisco to win. Cincinnati and Philadelphia, Joe Burrow coming off the breakout week, but I think he comes back to earth here. Philly's allowing 222.5 passing yards per game, 6 fewest in the league. They're a better secondary than they were last year. And I talked about how A.J. Green is in store for a tough one here in this contest as well. On the other side, though, you know, we're seeing opposing quarterbacks take shots downfield against Cincinnati. 10.3 ADOT against this defense. Carson Wentz has been taking shots downfield this season. 9.4 ADOT for him. 2 + 2 = 4. Carson Wentz is going to take shots downfield. And I think we could see a D-Jax long touchdown in this one. I do expect a lot of the tight ends, though. Carson Wentz is close to top 12, but he's not quite there. If I can get away with not using him, I'm not going to use him. But like I said, could see some big plays here. Also, the Bengals are getting torched by opposing running backs. 179 rushing yards per game so far this season. So get your popcorn ready for Miles Sanders taking the Eagles in this one. Houston and the Steelers. And this is a tough one for Houston. The Steelers, this one's interesting. So they are seeing a very high ADOT thrown against them, 9.2 yards. That's actually the third highest in the league. But at the same time, they're allowing a league low 56% completion rate. So it's a tough one. You know, if you're a Deshaun Watson owner, and it's funny on Twitter. So if you ever start a tweet, if you're going to tweet me at Jeff Radcliffe and you say, am I crazy too, ... I'm going to say probably 99 out of 100 times, yeah, you're crazy. if you actually have to preface with, is it crazy to, or am I crazy to? Yeah, you're probably crazy. You cray. All right. But I don't know if it's that crazy to consider benching Deshaun Watson this week. Now, you have to have a good enough option to do so. I'm not saying run out and just pick up whoever's on. Pick them up off waivers, man. Chuck them in your lineup. I don't know if I would go that far. But I think, you know, if you are in a situation where you have Deshaun Watson and you have somebody else like Ben Roethlisberger on the other side, I might lean Ben Roethlisberger. If you're Deshaun Watson and Ryan Tannehill, it's pretty darn close, I'll be honest with you. And if you said, hey, I'm going to start Tannehill over Watson this week, I wouldn't talk you out of it. Now, if you said I'm going to start Justin Herbert over Watson, yeah, I'm going to talk you out of that. I think that's pushing it big time. But if you said Tannehill, or if you said Wentz, I might not do that myself, but I'm not going to entirely talk you out of that one. Or Brady, I'm not going to do it myself, but I'm not entirely going to talk you out of it. Because it's really close back there in my ranking. So I do have Watson at 12, but I mean, I have Wentz at 15. It's not that far between those guys. So I would say not crazy, not outlandish to think about benching him this week. David Johnson, I'm not going to bench, but man, this defense is so good against the run. 2.55 yards per carry allowed so far to running backs, but David Johnson is going to see enough volume to be an RB2. Moving over to the Steelers, the Texans aren't seeing a lot of air yards, only 168.5 air yards per game, second lowest in the league. But you know what? It's because you can run the freaking football against them. They're allowing 6.4 yards per carry to opposing running backs. So yeah, James Conner, giddy up. And I'm not going to hesitate to start Ben Roethlisberger. I'm not going to look at that and be like, oh, you can't start him because this stat. No, context. I'm going to take the Steelers here. Jets and Indy, nothing on the Jets side. I mean, literally, I could tell you stats. I wrote up stats in my article at ftnfantasy.com, but I really don't care. You're not starting any Jets. In fact, the only thing that I like about the Jets is you can fire up the Colts defense against them. Also, love this one for Jonathan Taylor. The Jets are one of just four teams allowing over 5 yards per carry this season, so yeah, love it. Does look like Jack Doyle's trending towards playing, so Mo Alley Cox, back to the bench you go. Not going to use him this week for sure. Taking the Colts, easy peasy. Moving on to Carolina and the Chargers. Of course, a lot of folks picking up Mike Davis. I do not think this is the week to be using Mike Davis if you can get away with it. He's a flex play. He should see enough volume to flex out. But the Chargers are doing pretty well against the run. Fifth toughest fantasy matchup so far this season, just 67.5 rushing yards per game against the run. On the other side, Carolina is not doing well against the run again this year. 6 rushing touchdowns allowed so far. Austin Eckler, giddy up, top 10. Joshua Kelly, the more I look at it, the more I think you can slide him in as an RB2. I will say this, if you have both, and I know there are some folks who listen to this podcast who have both Austin Eckler and Joshua Kelly, I would do my best to not use them. Because let's just say, for sake of argument, all of a sudden this week the Panthers figure out how to defend the run. Not only do you get shut down with Austin Eckler, then you get shut down with Joshua Kelly. You tanked the week. Like, it's hard to dig out of that hole. So I think diversification is key here. I will, if I have both, absolutely start Eckler, and I will probably fade Joshua Kelly. I don't have both in any leagues where I'm making a decision like that, but if you do, then that's how I would approach it. Justin Herbert will get the start this week, but I'm not starting him in fantasy outside of two quarterback leagues. It's one of those things, too. This is another misleading thing. So the Panthers are currently the second worst fantasy matchup for quarterbacks. No, they aren't. They really aren't. It's that you don't have to throw against them to beat them. That's the thing. So, but whatever. This is one of those things about why we can't just blindly look at fantasy tools or fantasy data and just think we know things, right? The context is always key. Tampa Bay and Denver, and by the way, I am taking, if you hadn't figured it out, the Chargers in that one. Tampa Bay and Denver, didn't take long for Lenny. Leonard Fournette has taken over in that backfield. I'm going to use him as an RB2 this week. Initially, I was a little reluctant. The more I look at it, I'm like, yeah, I got to use him. Denver's allowing 4.5 yards per carry to opposing backfields, so I like him as an RB2. On the other side, I do not love Melvin Gordon here. The Bucs are the other team that's allowing 2.55 yards per rushing attempt. That defense is good against the run. But here's the thing. Melvin Gordon, he can still put up RB2 numbers in a bad matchup. And he did fare well in the passing game. Even though the numbers weren't big, that touchdown reception he made was pretty last week. So I'm still using him. And in fact, if you said Fournette, who I'm uncertain about still, even though I'm a little bit more confident, I'm still uncertain, or Melvin Gordon, who I know he's going to get, you know, full complement of touches, I have Gordon one spot ahead of Fournette right now. So that's kind of where we are. Detroit and Arizona, we just don't know what this Detroit passing game is going to look like until Kenny Golladay gets out there. I think he will be out there this week, but we'll see. Now, the Cardinals are one of just three teams holding opposing passers to under a 60% completion rate. So not a week for Matthew Stafford. They are allowing 4.7 yards per carry to opposing running backs, but good luck deciphering the Lions' backfield as of now. Kerryon, Adrian Peterson, DeAndre Swift, they're in a three-man committee. I'm not using them until we get clarity. Kyler Murray is the talk of the town. He's the chalk of the town, if you will, for DFS, but I think Kenyon Drake's pretty darn interesting here. Only Cincinnati has allowed more rushing yards to opposing running backs, and we're seeing backfields, they're averaging 176.5 rushing yards per game, 6.92. I had to double check this. 6.92 yards per carry. That is not a typo, that I'm not misspeaking. I think Kenyon Drake goes bonkers. He gives us one of those signature, gigantic, massive Drake games. I think that happens this week. I love him in DFS this week. I will take... in this one, Arizona, pretty easy. Dallas and Seattle, not as easy in this one. But, Seattle is really struggling against the passing game. We know that's good for Dak Prescott. I don't even have to tell you the stats, blah, blah, blah. You know, fire all those guys up. But did you realize that the Seahawks are pretty good against the run? 2.88 yards per carry. One of just three teams to be under the 3 yard per rushing attempt mark allowed. But I don't really care for Zeke. I mean, it's volume. Just keep it in the back of your mind if it's not the most efficient day. It isn't a Zeke thing. Sometimes when these guys don't have an efficient day, it's not on the player. It's just the freaking matchup. You know, that's all it is. Dallas, stingy against the run. 3.42 yards per carry to opposing backs. But Chris Carson contributes so much in the passing game now that it doesn't really matter. He's a top 15 play. And then, of course, Russell Wilson is poised to go off this week. 8.2 yards per passing attempt of what the Cowboys are allowing so far, so expect another big week for this passing game. Green Bay and New Orleans to round it out here. Pretty solid end to the week. The big question heading into everything for the Packers, will he or won't he? Devontae Adams, will he play? I do not think he plays. I really don't. It looks pretty unlikely. He's still technically labeled as questionable, but he's very much on the wrong side of that. But if you have Aaron Rodgers, I don't think that's the reason why you don't use Aaron Rodgers. The Saints have been pretty friendly. Remember, they just gave up a pretty big game to Derek Carr. And it's not like Derek Carr has a fleet of weapons. I mean, he's Darren Waller, but it's not like he has a fleet of wide receivers to throw to. So I think Aaron Rodgers can be just fine throwing to the backs out of the backfield, in particular Aaron Jones, and of course with Alan Lazard and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I realize I didn't give you a pick for that game too, by the way. I'm picking Seattle. So Aaron Rodgers is fine this week. Aaron Jones, tough matchup on the ground. Might not be the most efficient game, but we're not fading Aaron Jones whatsoever. New Orleans giving up 3.41 yards per attempt. Green Bay is kind of the opposite. A little bit stingier against the passing game, a little bit more lenient for the run. They're giving up 4.87 yards per attempt, 3 rushing scores to running backs already this year. Alvin Kamara goes off in this one. He is my number one play of the week across the board. I love Kamara here. So giddy up. I'm going to try and fade the passing game if I can. You may have to use Jared Cook. I get it. I'm going to fade Drew Brees if I can get away with it. And I'm actually fading Traquan here. I think that's a little bit dangerous to use Traquan this week in season long. So there you go. That's it. You want the article? Go to ftnfantasy.com. You want some of the new tools? We just came out with a great one today. It's a quick, at-a-glance tool that you can use to see the best and worst matchups of the week. The positional matchups tool, and it's pretty easy. We use thumbs up and thumbs down, emojis, baby. So if you get three thumbs up, that is a freaking awesome matchup. Three thumbs down, that's pretty darn bad, and everywhere in between. So check that out at ftnfantasy.com. Hey, man, we are closing in on 1K. We're just over 100 away. We need just over 100 more reviews to get 1,000 reviews. So if you haven't reviewed the show already on iTunes, I appreciate everybody who has, but please go and do so. It really helps the show out. The easiest way to do so is if you have an iPhone, open up the podcast app, go to My Podcast, The Rant, scroll down, click the stars, you're done. That's it. All right? At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, use the hashtag RatPack. That way I know you're a listener of the show, and enjoy the football this weekend. It's going to be fun. Also on Sunday morning, 8 to noon Eastern, CBS Sports Network, that other pregame show, you'll see yours truly. We got a cool segment this week where I'm going to be talking along with my partner in crime, Keith Irizarry. We're going to be talking to London Fletcher and Kyle Long about some players trending in different directions for fantasy purposes. So it'll be a little fantasy meets reality. Two former players, two fantasy analysts going back and forth. This is the kind of TV you get. This is awesome stuff. You don't get it anywhere else. CBS Sports Network, 8 to noon Eastern. All right, I'll catch you on the flip side of the weekend for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out of here.